Let's turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, which will be the focus for this afternoon's sermon, Lord's Day 50. The sermon was written in connection with the internship I did this past summer, and so it might be a little out of order for you, but I pray that we would still be encouraged by God's word as we study the fourth petition. So Lord's Day 50, what is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, provide us with all our bodily needs, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor, and also your gifts, cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are so familiar with the Lord's Prayer that it's sometimes easy to miss. But there's a distinctive shift in the Lord's Prayer between the third and the fourth petition. We start by petitioning that God's name would be hallowed, and that God's kingdom would be multiplied on this earth, and then we pray that as the angels in heaven obey God's will, so God's will would be obeyed and followed on earth. There is a heavenward focus to the first half of the Lord's Prayer, and so it comes almost as a shock when we hear again the fourth petition. Our prayer shifts from the soaring heights of God's glory and His kingdom to something so simple, so every day, so earthly as bread. And yet here it is. When Jesus was asked by his disciples how to pray, he instructed them also to pray for their daily bread. And the simplicity of this request, it should not be missed or disregarded. There have been those throughout history who have spiritualized this petition to mean something other than the bread that we need to survive. They argue that real physical bread is just too lowly of a subject matter for prayer, and so it must be referring to something spiritual like bread we need for the upbuilding of our souls. However, this is missing the point of the petition. We need physical nourishment to live, and we ought to look to our Heavenly Father for it. And so I bring God's word to you this afternoon with this theme: pray that our Father would provide us with our daily bread. And we'll see two things. First, that this requires knowing our needs, and secondly, it requires a heart of faith. So first, knowing our needs. In our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8, we see how God's people had to learn how to pray this petition. As I mentioned, Deuteronomy contains the words of Moses as he is speaking to the people of Israel as they are just about to enter the promised land. And Moses takes this opportunity to recount for them the journey that they have just been on. The journey from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. And Moses takes this opportunity also to recount the commandments of the Lord. Chapter 8 highlights God's faithfulness to his people and reminds them not to forget what he has done for them as they enter the promised land. Listen to verse 2. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God led you these years in the wilderness. He humbled you and let you hunger, and he fed you with manna, which he did not know, which your fathers, nor did your fathers know. The Israelites had been rescued from God by God's mighty hand from Egypt on the night of Passover. And then in Exodus 14, they were brought through the Red Sea. But then already in Exodus 15, they are grumbling over the lack of water. And then in Exodus 16, they grumble again against Moses and say, "Would that we have died in Egypt when we sat by meat pots and ate bread to the full." They had left the food security of Egypt, and God had been calling them to trust. And even though they demonstrated so clearly their lack of trust, God sends manna, enough for each family for one day. God was, in a way, teaching them to pray the fourth petition, teaching them to pray, "Lord, give us manna that we may eat and be able to continue in our journey to the promised land." It's easy to dismiss the Israelites as a grumbling and unfaithful people. But how many of us would grumble and complain if we had to give up our Christmas feasts and only eat manna and water all week? Christmas is so often a time of celebration involving food and gifts, and there's nothing wrong with this. But before we dismiss the Israelites, let us take an opportunity to learn from them as well. God was instructing them how to pray the fourth petition, and He is also instructing us through them, instructing us today. He's instructing us to pray for what we need. He uses the word bread. Jesus uses the word bread. It represents the basic necessities, the staples that our lives, which we require in order to live. And what these necessities are, they differ from one culture to the next. Every culture has its own form of bread, and every person has their own needs. But the common factor is that we are asking God to provide us with what our bodies need. And as the Catechism points out, this prayer, it goes beyond just food, but also for all of our bodily needs. Recall how the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, verse 4, as the people wandered those years in the wilderness, God did not just give them food, but He also ensured that their clothes would not wear out, their feet would not swell. And so with the fourth petition, we are asking God to provide us with all our bodily needs. We are praying that God would give us food, clothing, a roof over our heads, all the things that are necessary for life and health. This does not mean we cannot have luxuries, anything beyond the bare necessities. No, when God blesses us richly, as He so often does, we ought to enjoy these gifts and to thank Him for them. But that's not what the fourth petition is about. We should not pray for those luxuries. We ought not to pray for the wealth beyond what we need, for the finer things in life. Listen to the warning of 1 Timothy 6. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." Yes, God may choose to give us riches and luxuries, but the fourth petition is a humble prayer that God would give us what we need. And that word, need, is a difficult one for us, especially in this Christmas season. As we enjoy rich blessing after rich blessing, it's so easy to begin to blur the lines between our wants and what we need, to think of the extra things as necessary. And so how do we know what to pray for? How do we know that we are asking for our bodily needs, to use the language of the Catechism, and not our wants? Well, our needs are things that we require for life, yes. But more importantly, our needs are things that we require in order to do the tasks that God has set before us. Let me say that again. Our needs are the things we need or require in order to do the tasks that God has set before us. And it's helpful and clarifying to understand this, the connection between the fourth petition and the previous petition. In the third petition, we ask that God's will be done, and that we learn to submit every aspect of our lives to God's will. Recalling the words we read from Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then in the fourth petition, we are asking God for the things that we need in order to be able to do that will. So first we ask God that we would do His will and He would make it clear to us. And then we ask God to provide us with what we need in order to do it. Again, Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We pray first, Lord, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then with that in mind, we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. This is evident from Deuteronomy chapter 8 as well. Look at how the chapter starts. It starts with Moses exhorting the people to obey the commandments of the Lord as they enter the promised land. And then he encourages them with the fact that God has and will provide what they need in order to obey God's will. That is, go in and possess the promised land and subdue it. God fulfilled that promise. Listen to Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. And the manna ceased the day after they ate the produce of the land. There was no longer manna for God's people Israel, but they ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. God had provided manna for His people so that they could travel through the wilderness. And then as they entered the promised land, God provided them in that place and in that situation as well. And so we're asking God for our daily bread. We are asking God to give us what we need in order to do His will. Think too of how the Lord's Prayer starts. Our Father in heaven. We do not pray to a God who is distant from us, who makes His will hidden from us, who doesn't want to bless us with what we need. No, we pray to our Father. Again, Matthew 6, verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before asking Him. And then again in verse 22, for the Gentiles seek after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But this is not the position that we deserve to be in. In Adam, we rejected God's love and turned our back on Him. In the Garden of Eden, God had perfectly provided mankind with all he needed in order to do God's will. But we rejected that and we wanted to serve our own will. But still today we can in faith pray to our Father for our bodily needs. Not on our own merit, but because of the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave up the glory of heaven, suffered body and soul on this earth, was rejected by the Father, so that the Father would never turn His back on us when we pray to Him. What an immense joy it is to be called children of God. We have been adopted as God's children, and as such, we can trust that God knows what we need and will provide it for us. When we pray the fourth petition, we are asking God to provide us with what we need and trusting ourselves to His fatherly care. He knows what is in store for us, and He knows what we will need in order to do His will. To make this concrete, think of a farm in harvest season. The boss gathers the employees early in the morning and he lays out the plan for the day. There's a field over there that needs harvesting. Someone needs to pick up the empty wagons from the previous field, and somebody still needs to grease the tractors. And the boss may delegate all he wants, and the employees may even be eager to do their tasks. But unless the boss provides the employees with what they need, diesel for the combine, a vehicle to get the empty wagons, grease for the tractor, the employees won't be able to complete their assigned tasks. In a similar way, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are asking first that God would show us His will. That God would show us His will, and then that He would equip us with what we need, the fourth petition, in order that we may do that will. For example, a student might pray, "Lord, You have called me to go to classes today and to do my best. Please give me my daily bread so that I may have the energy and the strength and the focus to use my gifts." Or a mother might pray, "Lord, You have called me to care for this family and to keep this home. Give me my daily bread that I may have health to nurture these children and the tools I need to maintain this home." A young couple might pray, "Lord, You have called us to live together in Your service. Give us our daily bread. That is, give us the income necessary so that we can rent or buy a home and live and start a family together, if that is Your will." Or maybe those who are retired, "Lord, give us our daily bread. Give us through our food the energy and the strength to be able to help to serve You in these years and to be able to help this community that You have placed us in." Whatever God has called you to do as this year comes to a close, as our eyes look to 2024, whatever God has called you to do, pray that He would supply your physical needs so that you would be able to carry out that task to His glory and His honor. And when we pray the fourth petition in this way, it takes on a heavenly or kingdom focus. The very bread we eat, the meal that you will have after this service, the Christmas dinner you will have with your family, is all part of God's kingdom work. God is equipping you for your task in His kingdom. And so it becomes clear that praying this prayer is an act of faith. When we pray for our daily bread, the Holy Spirit also works a change in our hearts, as we will see in our second point. Praying this petition requires a heart of faith. As was said earlier, this petition focuses in on our physical nourishment and physical needs. However, when we pray this petition, God is also at work in us spiritually. By providing for our physical needs, God also seeks to teach and to train our hearts. And that's where the authors of the Catechism go as well. It says there, provide us with our bodily needs so that God not only wants to give us what we need, but also to shape and to mold us. In the first place, God wants us to acknowledge that He is the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor and also His gifts cannot do us any good without His blessing. And secondly, that this acknowledgement would cause us to withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in Him. This is the same heart attitude change that needed to take place in the hearts of God's people in the Old Testament. Again, from a reading in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. You shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that He may humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart. And then verse 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. During that time in the wilderness, God was teaching and training His people, so they would understand that they were wholly dependent on God for all things. This was true as they journeyed in the wilderness from Egypt to Canaan. But even as they entered and settled the promised land, they still had to learn this lesson. The success of the growing season was dependent on God sending rain in its proper season. Yes, they would no longer receive manna for each day, but they were still dependent on God to bless their labor and their crops. There are not many of us today who work the ground for our own food. Maybe there are some among us. We have jobs which provide income. We make investments which provide security for the future. There's always stores that have food on the shelves and others that sell clothes and other items we need. We don't think twice about the fresh, clean water that flows from our taps whenever we need it. And if all else fails, society has set up supports and programs to help those in need. And these are certainly blessings. But the problem arises when we don't acknowledge them as such. Part of praying the fourth petition is learning to acknowledge that all these things, these necessities and also the comforts and the luxuries come to us from our Father in heaven. Even the fact that our bodies respond to the food we eat doesn't happen by chance, but is a blessing from our Father's hand. By asking God for our daily bread, we ought to learn to acknowledge that these things come to us from His hand, and without His blessing, they cannot do us any good. The Catechism describes God as the fountain of all good. When we pray for our daily bread, but so often God blesses us with so much more. The image is of blessings bursting forth and showering down upon His people. For God is delighted to bless His people. Again, Deuteronomy 8, verse 7 and following, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out and in the valleys, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. This is not a land of bare necessities, but a land of rich blessings. So too here in Canada, when we take stock of our lives, consider all we have, we quickly realize that God has lavishly blessed us. And it's a reason for thanksgiving. We ought to, day in and day out, come before God in prayer and thank Him, the fountain of all good, for each of these blessings. We must, however, also watch out. The devil can use these blessings from God in order to undermine our faith and to make us complacent. It was a danger faced by the people of Israel as well. Moses has just finished laying out the blessings that the people could look forward to in the promised land. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 11, take care. Or it could be translated, watch out. Be on guard. Watch out, congregation, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, then your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my hand have gotten me this wealth. The danger is that we start to feel like we have earned God's blessings. We feel like because we have worked so hard or because we have been so careful with our savings that we have earned this or that luxury. And the luxuries are not bad, but God wants your heart. Think of the parable of the rich man who, after a good harvest, built himself bigger barns and said to himself, I will relax, eat, drink, and be merry. What did God say to him? Fool, this night your soul is required of you. What happened to the nation of Israel when they forgot to rely on God for their daily bread? They were pillaged by the other nations and sent into exile according to the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us never slide into that kind of thinking. Pray the fourth petition by the power of the Holy Spirit and begin to acknowledge that all our needs come to us from our Father in heaven, and they can only do us any good because of His blessing. It's a different perspective than the world, isn't it? This world is so often driven by the desires of the flesh, the desire to earn money, status, power. They put their trust in these things to bring them what they need. And they depend on them for happiness, stability, and a sense of purpose. And it's so tempting. So easy for us as believers to fall into that same trap. It's all around us, after all, in our culture, entertainment, and advertising, especially in this Christmas season. But when that arises in your heart, fall down on your knees and pray the fourth petition. Pray that your Heavenly Father would provide you with what you need. Pray that you would learn to see the blessings in your life as gifts, not earnings. And pray that God would teach you to place your trust only in Him. And we need to learn this trust through the power of the Holy Spirit, because it does not come naturally. The Catechism says that when we pray the fourth petition, we are praying that we would withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. It's a very real, very practical prayer. And it was for God's people Israel. They were entering into an unknown land, and they had to learn to withdraw their trust from themselves and place it wholly in God to defeat their enemies before them, and to provide for their needs in this new land. In a similar way, rather than looking to our jobs, our bank accounts, or the society in which we live for security, for our daily bread, we look to our Father in heaven. God may choose to use those things as means by which to give our daily bread, but our trust needs to be in the one who blesses our work, who gives us the strength to do it. As God's children, we can rest in this security. We have a Father in heaven who knows our needs. We have an almighty God who is able to provide us with our daily bread. This truth that gives us great comfort and peace, even among the difficulties and the uncertainties of this life on earth. And even if, in God's providence, all our earthly blessings would fall away, as God's children, our hope is not in the here and now. Our hope is eternal. It does not rest on the things of this earth, the gifts we receive and the gifts we give, the food we eat, or our jobs. No, our hope rests in the one who came to this earth. Born as man, he lived and died so that we could have life. Our hope is in Christ. And what a glorious hope it is. When we look back and celebrate Christmas with rejoicing, it is because through this child, this Christ, the Savior of the world, that we can know with rock-solid certainty that there awaits us in heaven a glorious dwelling place where there will be no more famine or hunger or war or sickness. There we will have every need perfectly met. And even more than that, it will be a rich blessedness such as no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived. A blessedness in which we can join with the heavenly choir and sing praises to our God for all that he has done. And as we look forward to that day, as we journey on the path that God has set before you to that day, do so with a heart of faith. Do so praying to your heavenly Father to equip you with what you need to do his will. And as children of God, congregation, we can confess with the psalmist of Psalm 145, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in due season. Open your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen."